In today's message from the Word of God, we wish to consider what a Christian is. There are three scriptures in the New Testament where we have the word Christian recorded for us. And so far as I know, there are only three. But in these three passages of Scripture, we have sufficient to show us what God's thoughts are as to what a Christian is. One time a friend of mine asked a lady the question, "Are you a Christian?" And she replied quite haughtily, "Do you think that I'm a heathen?" Now she seemed to have been offended by the question. And further questioning her, the friend found out that she regarded herself a Christian because she belonged to a certain denominational church, and that she was, she thought, a part of a Christian nation. I wonder what my listener's idea of a Christian is today. What is your thought as to what a Christian is? I trust that your interest will be aroused to such a degree that you will want to find out what God says a Christian is. We have the Word of God, the Bible, which is our only infallible guide. And it is the sole authority for all answers to spiritual questions. We would turn to it afresh today. And we ask that the reader would follow along in these passages we look to. The first one will be found in Acts 11, in verse 26. The second one in 1 Peter 4:16, and the third in Acts 26:28. In the first one, in Acts chapter 11, we read the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. We learn from this that a Christian is a disciple. Further study of the word, however, shows us that there are disciples and disciples indeed. From this passage we learn that a Christian is one who had heard the preaching of the Word of God. For there were those who were being persecuted, Christians living in Jerusalem, after Stephen was persecuted. The Jewish nation intensified its persecution of the Christians, and many Christians were scattered, and some of them as far as Antioch, up in Pisidia in Asia Minor. And this is the Antioch that is referred to here. And where they went, they spoke of the Lord Jesus. They preached the word. What a wonderful testimony this is to their belief and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So those who were in Antioch heard for the first time, these were Gentiles, from the Jewish believers. They had heard the word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that when they had heard of the word, that they recognized it as being from the Lord. There was power in it. And you know, beloved friends, it's God's gospel that is his power to salvation to everyone that believes. And you want to know whether this is the word of God or not, just expose yourself to it. Take God at his word. Read it. Ask him to speak to you. We read in verse 21 that the hand of the Lord was with them. Yes, they realized that God's word was with power, and that the Lord Jesus was a living, vital Savior, one whom they needed, and one whom they could have. In verse 21, we read that a great number of them believed. They acknowledged that what they heard was so. And we notice that this belief was not simply an intellectual assent to what they had heard, but the next expression says they turned unto the Lord. The belief that makes one a Christian is the belief that accepts the person of Christ for his own personal need. And this we see in the Christians at Antioch. They turned to the Lord. They not only believed the facts, but they were converted to the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 23, we notice that the disciples who became Christians through trusting Christ and believing on him and turning to the Lord, that they responded to the exhortation of Barnabas, who went there to teach them, that with purpose of heart they cleave unto the Lord. and the Lord who had saved them, the one whom they accepted, was everything to them. A Christian is one to whom the Lord is everything. And that they did cleave unto the Lord, we see in the way the life of these disciples in Antioch is unfolded for us. We find that after Barnabas sent for Saul, later known as Paul, to come up and teach these new believers, that they assembled together to hear him. They were there for about a whole year, and they taught much of these people. A Christian is one who loves to be taught of God. He loves to listen to the Word of God. He loves to study it because it unfolds the Savior who has saved him. And so it's these disciples who are first called Christians in Antioch that I believe, as we have looked at them, in them we see what a Bible Christian is. And furthermore, in their sending practical help to the poor saints in Jerusalem at the time of a famine, we see that their faith was accompanied with works. So a true Christian shows his faith by his works. Shall we turn now to 1 Peter chapter 4? We read that a Christian is one who is often persecuted for the sake of Christ. Peter is encouraging the saints who were finding persecution on every hand. And he said, "Rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings," he says. "And if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye." The world in which the Christian finds himself is opposed to the Christian because it is opposed to Christ. The Christian is not of the world. And the Lord Jesus speaks of this in John chapter 16. He said, "If ye were of the world, the world would love its own." But he says, "Because ye are not of the world, and I have called you out of the world," he said, "therefore doth the world hate you." The world is that system of things which has Satan as its God and prince, that does not desire God in its plans, the world away from God. There is a religious world that is away from God too. Though professedly near him with lips service, they know not the Christ of God. They are not Christian. They may have been baptized. They may have subscribed to the Apostles' Creed. But yet, if they know not Christ as a personal Savior, it's still the world. A true Christian will find opposition from the world and from the religious world. A Christian is not of this world, Jesus said, because he's born from above. His citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is our home, dear believer. This rejoices your heart, I know, as we anticipate the bright prospect that is before us. But we can expect while we're here to be persecuted if we bear a witness for Christ. And the Apostle Peter would enjoin upon us to be happy if we're reproached for the name of Christ. And he says, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Jesus said, "If they have persecuted me, such as they did, they will persecute you. And in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So the second scripture, which we read the word Christian in it in verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian," has to do with the suffering a Christian can expect in this world and from the world if he witnesses for Christ, if he bears the name of Christ, if he walks with Christ, if he testifies for Christ. We can expect to suffer for him. But he will give grace. He will give all the comfort and the endurance that we are in need of as we look to him. And it is a privilege. Because the Lord says, "If ye suffer for me here, ye shall reign with me then," referring to the millennial reign. Now we have a living exponent of a Christian in the third and final scripture in which we find the word Christian, in Acts chapter 26. The Apostle Paul is found in bonds, and he's brought before Festus the governor and Agrippa the king. He gives his testimony, and it's a testimony for Christ. He appears before kings, such as the Lord told him he would do at his conversion. And we find him here, brought before the king, recounting for the king Agrippa the wonderful way God reached his soul on the way to Damascus when he was converted. Yes, a Christian is one who has been converted. He's had an experience with God. Now, we don't all have the same experience. God speaks to us in different ways. And the experience that the Apostle Paul had was unique. But we all are converted in the same way. We're converted to God through a revelation of Jesus Christ to our soul. And that's what Paul had on the way to Damascus. And this revelation humbled Paul before the Lord in repentance. And Paul lifted up his heart in faith, and he was turned to God. He was converted. The voice of the Lord spoke to him. And if you're converted through the word of the Lord and through the power of the Spirit of God that would convict you of your sin and present Christ to you for your acceptance as Savior. He recounts this. And he goes on to say that as a Christian, one who would accept the Christian ministry of the Word, the message of Jesus Christ, he would have his eyes open in verse 18. Christian is one who's had his eyes open to eternal realities, eternal truth. And it is eternal truth. He is also one who has been turned from darkness to light. Sin causes us to be in the dark, in our understanding, in the darkness away from God. But the Christian is one who has been brought to light, brought to the light of the presence of God, for God is light. We are brought to God by Jesus Christ, the one mediator. A Christian also is one who has turned from the power of Satan unto God. Non-converted person may think that he's doing his own will, but he is really in bondage to Satan. He's of the world. He's not a child of God. A Christian is a child of God. He's been born of God. If you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God. You may be a child of the devil, child of disobedience, a child of wrath. But when you're converted, you become a child of God. You're brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You're His. You belong to Him. A Christian belongs to God. A Christian also is one who receives the forgiveness of sins. In the Apostles' Creed, a professed Christian says, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. Well, you can believe that. You can believe that there is forgiveness of sins. But there's a very great difference in believing in the forgiveness of sins and saying and knowing, I believe in the forgiveness of my sins. Can you say that? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? A Christian is one who has his sins forgiven. Because when he comes to Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them forever. And John says, I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. A Christian also is one who has inheritance among them that are sanctified. An inheritance we have? Yes, a Christian has the inheritance of God. He's a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And all that Christ has acquired by his redemptive work at Calvary, he's going to share with you and me. A Christian, one who belongs to Christ. How do we become sanctified? What does sanctified mean? Sanctified means to be set apart. And when we are saved, we are set apart to God. How? It says here, by faith that is in me. Jesus is speaking here. He is the sole authority to go by, and this is what a Christian is. Are you a Christian by these standards? Oh, I trust that you are. If you're not, you may become a Christian. Would you ask? Are you asking how again? Would you like to know? Oh, it is one of the most important things that you could ever know. In verse 20 of Acts 26, we read, when Paul preached, he preached to the Gentiles And that would be to you and to me and to all men today, that they should repent. Repent. What does it mean? To accept God's word against you, dear friend, that you are lost. You may be a professor. You may have been baptized. You may have joined a so-called church. But if you have not been saved, if you have not repented to God for your sins, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you're still lost, and you're not a Christian in the Bible sense of the word. But if you desire to become a Christian, you turn to God in repentance. Put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, do works meet for repentance. That is, a person shows that he has repented. He shows that he has become a Christian by the works that he does. And then Paul goes on to witness. He says, I witness this day to the small and great, saying none other things than are written by the prophets and Moses. He spoke and preached the word of God. It is that which alone can bring blessing and light to your soul. And that's why we bring to you these moments with the book. And these words that Paul preached are words in connection with Christ, his death and his resurrection. And as he pressed this upon Festus and Agrippa, Festus said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. But Paul turned to Agrippa, and he said, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa did believe. He believed the facts. Paul said these things in connection with the death and resurrection of Christ weren't done in a corner. He said, I know you believe. And he did. But one thing was true. Agrippa, though he believed the facts, did not trust the person of Christ. You know, dear friend, it's a very pathetic thing when you read here that Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. God says, oh, that you would, or Paul says rather, would to God that thou wouldst not only say almost, but altogether, such as I am, accept these bonds. And we would today desire that you too might become a Christian, that you might accept the Lord Jesus and thus belong to him. And accepting him, he will belong to you. This is what a true Christian is. Will you not today be persuaded to be a Christian?